What is the purpose of life? You guys are smart, right? Nobody? All right. To glorify God. There we go. You guys are ahead of the game. Man, I don't even know what I'm here for. But no, I do know what I'm here for. And we're going to talk a little bit today about what the purpose of life is. And we're going to get a little insight into what the unbeliever looks at for the purpose of life, and what the unbeliever sees as the purpose of life. If you would turn to in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to be looking at chapter 2. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books. It's this book where Solomon, the wisest man ever, thinks. In Proverbs, it's where he speaks. He tells you that he lists off many proverbs, but Ecclesiastes is the book where he thinks about those things, a lot of those things. And so you have to keep all that's said in this book in context of the book as a whole, as we do with all Scripture. But this book especially. For example, if you were to just read Ecclesiastes 1:2, and it says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Well, within his context of what he's talking about, all is vanity. But all, everything, is not vanity. Because this is Solomon thinking through different things and him getting to a certain point. He's working through different problems, looking from different angles to try to discover things, to use his wisdom to figure out different things. And in chapter 2, we get a look into what the purpose of life is from the view of an unbeliever, from a person that doesn't have a purpose. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their earth." So in verse 3 right here, he tells us why he's doing this. He says, "that I might see that which was good for sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their earth." But what should men do? You know, what we have a certain amount of days. We have a few days that we're here on this earth. We're under the sun. What should men do with that time? What is the purpose of that time? So in these first few verses, he looks at a few different things. He's looking under the sun for the purpose of life. And he says, "In my heart, go now, I prove thee with mirth." Now, mirth is a word that means amusement. Amusement is a combination of several words. Ah, which means without, and muse, which means to think. So, ah thinking, or no thinking, is amusement. So, mirth is mindless living. Just foolish, you know, living, frivolous living, not really thinking too much about anything. You go to an amusement park, you know, do whatever you want to. Just kind of go and have fun. Not really think about anything. To just do it. To just live life. You know, if it feels good, do it. Go for it. And don't really think about any of it. Well, we see what he says about that. He says this also is vanity. And vanity is a word that means emptiness. It's empty. It's useless. There's nothing there. There's nothing feasible for me to grab a hold of. This living life with no thinking, there's no substance to it. It's empty. So he says, this is empty. So he tries something else. He says, "I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it?" Of laughter, it is mad. Now, we know that the Bible says that laughter is good medicine. So laughter, all in all, is not bad. But what he's speaking of here is someone who never takes anything seriously. Everything's just a joke. And I'm sure you can think of people like that. You can never take them seriously. You couldn't trust them with anything because everything's a joke. Life's a joke. Nothing's ever serious and it never means anything. And that's foolishness. That's empty. Living life like that with no purpose, with nothing being serious. The person that is mad with laughter never takes time to be serious. And life has some serious matters and some things that we need to take seriously. So he says that's empty. Living life aimlessly, mindlessly, living life just when everything's funny and everything's just great and dandy, that's nothing. There's nothing there. He says, so I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Now, giving himself unto wine right here, I was reading what this means in this verse, and one of the interpretations could be just to get drunk. You know, you're drunk and you don't have to worry about anything. You're not really thinking about much. Or I don't know exactly how that works, but he said, you know, that's not any good. But it also here is referring to wine and drink and fine foods. Nice things, nice food. You can go to a nice dinner and you have wine and you have all these foods. It's like, I need something. I'm empty here. I'm looking for a purpose. Maybe it's in that ham right there. Maybe it's in that right there. Maybe it's in, you know, and just bring this idea of gluttony, bringing this all to himself. So he's like, maybe it's in this wine. Maybe it's in this food. Maybe it's in these different things. But he says, this also is vanity. It's like blowing in the wind. There's nothing here. There's nothing that I can grab to. It's empty. So he tries some different things. Now, before I go any further, I want to compare you all to this little thing I have right here. This right here is a donut. And this little donut is you, okay? This is your life. It's my life too, don't worry. And we're looking for a purpose. We're looking for something in our life. We're like, this life, there's something missing here. There's something that we need. And Solomon realized that in all of his wisdom. There's something else. C.S. Lewis presents a very legitimate case in the Mere Christianity for the fact that we're, as humans, we're made looking for something else. There's something else that we want. We realize that we're empty. Something's missing. And so we try to fill it with different things. We're like, well, you know, maybe I need that strawberry icing on there, which we're going to say that's like that thinking that's not thinking. We're just going to not think. We're going to eat. We're going to be glutton. We're going to take in all of this food and this wine, and that's going to fulfill our donut. It's going to fill our life. It's going to finish everything. But we get to that point, like Solomon did. He's like, all right, I've got all this icing on here. We're good. Like, no, there's still something missing. There's something that's not there. There's still an emptiness. And so Solomon goes on. He goes from this section in verses 1 through 3 of pleasure to verses 4 through 11, which is on profit. We're going to read those. He's very profitable in these verses. He says, I made me great works. I builded houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have ever been to Biltmore. I haven't, but I've seen pictures of their gardens. And that's a beautiful place. That is amazing. And to imagine the fact of Solomon's garden, I mean, this had to have been beautiful beyond that. And it says that he built these, what comes to mind, these pools. All I can think of are those great aqueducts of Rome that moved the water all the way across the country. He built this great architecture that would feed water to his gardens. This wasn't just tilling a little section and making some vegetables. This was beauty. This was the garden of the king of Jerusalem, the greatest that had ever been. So he has these trees and these great works, these architectural things. He says in verse 7, I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So, after that, he decided, well, icing wasn't enough, so we're going to put sprinkles on there too. We're going to put icing and sprinkles on my life. I'm going to build these great cities. I'm going to build these beautiful gardens. I'm going to have singers of all kinds. It's going to be the best thing that there ever was. And he got to the end of it. He had, look at all those pretty sprinkles. He had all those pretty things, all those nice things, the gold and the silver. And he said, there's still something missing. There's vanity. There's emptiness. There's something that I still can't grasp. There's still something missing. So he goes on to think even more. And in verses 12 through 17, he looks into wisdom. He looks into perception. And we're going to read those verses starting in verse 12. "And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath already been done? Then I saw wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event had happeneth to them both. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity." He's like, well, maybe the purpose in life is to be very perceptive. It's to be smart, to have wisdom. Maybe wisdom is the answer. Maybe that's where I'll find that. But he becomes wise, and he is wise. And the example that I can think of is, imagine that a meteor is coming to strike this earth. And the wise man knows he's coming. He watches the sky and he sees it. And he's about to die. And he knows it. And the fool has no idea what's going to happen. But guess what? When that meteor hits, both of them are dead, aren't they? Whether knowing what's going to happen or not knowing what's going to happen, the end thereof is still the same. When you look and you go into a morgue and they've got dead bodies there, apart, if they have, you know, no clothes, no signs of what their standing was in life, just two dead people, one rich and wise and one poor and foolish. When they're dead, there's no difference. You can't tell. He says, so, you know, wisdom, yeah, it's far better than foolishness. It's far better to see what's going to happen. It's like light excelling darkness, but it's still vanity. There's still an emptiness. No matter how smart I am, no matter how much I know, there's still something that's still missing there. And he comes to a conclusion, verses 18 through 22, through 23. We're going to read those verses. "Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherewith I have labored. And wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun, this also is vanity." He's like, I get all this, I make all this, and who's going to get it when I'm gone? I'm going to die. I can see that. I'm wise. I see that an end is coming. Where does it go? To my heir? Well, what if he's a dumb guy? He doesn't deserve that. This is mine. This is what I have built. And this foolish, selfish idea is what he gets into. This is the only thing that the world has to go by. The world doesn't know that our purpose is to glorify God, but all they can go is to strive for those different things. But they realize, you know, even if they make their donut chocolate with nuts, even if it gets even seems better on the inside, there's something missing. It's like, because this donut's got to go somewhere else. When I die, somebody else is going to get it. And I want it, not somebody else. He said, this is vanity. Even building up all of these things and making all of these things, it's empty. And the reason that it's empty is because we are like this donut. But what's missing is not what goes around the outside. It's not the icing that goes on it. It's not the sprinkles. It's not the nuts. But it's the part that goes in the middle. It's a little squish now. But the middle is what's missing, not what goes on the outside. That donut hole. Our purpose in life isn't to make ourselves look better. It's not to build pretty things and nice things. But it's to glorify God. We need to fill that hole with Jesus Christ. Because we as humans, as sinning humans, we're looking for our purpose under the sun. That's the great thing about this chapter. He's talking under the sun. He says it several times, under the sun, under the sun. But we don't find our purpose under the sun. But we find our purpose in the sun. In the Son of Jesus Christ. In the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We can look unto Him. You know, we see in this verse, in this chapter, he talks about the fact that the foolish are going to be forgotten. Just like Joseph was. It says, there came a Pharaoh that knew him not. There come people that know him not. The foolish and the wise both are forgotten. But according to Psalm 12, verse 6, the righteous will be remembered forever. The worldly person has no rest. They're constantly trying to find that purpose. They're constantly trying to fill that emptiness. They wake up in the morning and they're thinking, how can I build a better garden? How can I build a better city? How can I bring more sprinkles to my donut? And they go to bed thinking, all right, I gained a few more, but there's still something else. But you know what the Bible says? What Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Bring me your burdens. Your purpose isn't in finding that, but it's doing the will of Him who sent you. See, we look for our purpose under the sun, and we get our purpose through the sun to set up for ourselves things above the sun. Our goal now, we've been saved through the sun, and now we have the opportunity to do something that's not vanity, but to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. We have this opportunity, like the Bible says, to store up for ourselves not treasures on earth where moth and rust dust corrupt and destroy, but up in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and don't destroy. That is what is not vanity. That is where there is fulfillment. That is where that hole, the emptiness is filled through Jesus Christ. And the way that we can have all of those things that don't fade away, Solomon said, who's going to get it? Somebody else is going to get it. You know? I mean, my heir, who's after that? Somebody else that doesn't know what they're doing? But the fact is that if we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, then they're there for eternity. And we're there for eternity. Is that not cool? We can save up for ourselves treasures that don't end, that are not vanity. And we have that opportunity. And that's a great thing. Do not try to find purpose under the sun, but instead look to the sun to lay up treasures above the sun. That's what we need to do. And another thing that comes from this is, you know, all of that's vanity, so what's the use in doing any of it? You know, why should we have a nice house? Why should we have anything? Why shouldn't we just be homeless? And that's what a lot of non-Christians think about Christians, that we're all hypocrites because we don't just sell everything that we have and go do whatever their idea of that is. But in verses 24 and through 26, it says this: there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. God loves us. He created us and He put us in this world, and He wants us to be in the world but not of the world. He doesn't mean for us not to have nice things. Those verses, the next verse there, I'm running out of time, but it talks about the fact that God blesses those that have wisdom. He blesses those that He says that, for God giveth to a man that is good in His sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. He gives these things to them, and He gives them happiness. See, amusement's fun sometimes, in moderation. Having a good home, that's a good thing to have. You know, it's something that keeps you and your family warm. To work and to see the benefits of that work, that's something God wanted us to do. He told Adam to take care of the garden and to take the fruits thereof. And so we are to work and we're to do those good things, but not to find purpose in them. And I want to give you an illustration. Think about it like this. I have a hamburger right here from Hardee's. I like food, you know. It's a good example. This hamburger right here has nothing on it. Just bun and bread. This right here is ketchup and mustard. Now, I want you to imagine a few hours ago when you guys were really hungry, before you ate supper, and I said, all right, you can either have the burger with nothing on it, or you can have just the ketchup and mustard. One or the other. You can't have both. Which one are you going to go for? The burger. You want the burger, right? Now, would the burger be better with some of this on it? Yeah, I think so. And some lettuce and onion and a few other things. But the fact is that a lot of people are looking for their purpose and meaning in life in the sauce. They're looking for it in the condiments, but it's not filling. It doesn't fill you up. It leaves you wanting something else. There's something else missing. But if we have the burger first, then we can add those things to it and make it better. If we have the burger of the purpose of our life is to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven, if we're doing that, then God's going to bless us with the things to go with it. He's going to reward our hard work. He's going to reward our wisdom and all of those things. So don't go thinking you can't ever have ketchup and mustard with your burger. You can. You just got to make sure your focus is on the burger and not on that. So put your focus on the things that are to come. Put your focus above the sun and not under the sun. And find your purpose through the sun, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this night that you've given us. Thank you for this chance to come together and to pray and to bring these requests before you. Lord, I thank you for this insight through Solomon into what our purpose in life is. And Lord, help us not to look for our purpose, even now as Christians, in mirth and in wine and servants and cattle and great architecture and all of these different things, but help us to know and realize that our purpose is to glorify you. It's to store up treasures in heaven and to obey your commandments, like the end of Ecclesiastes talks about. That to obey your commandments, this is the reason. This is why we do all these things. Lord, I pray that we would remember all this and that we would apply all this. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.